Do you have joy? Does joy come easy to you? Or do you struggle to have the kind of joy that you want? That's what we're talking about. Welcome to the Next Step Disciple. Well, hey, everybody, welcome to the show today. Glad that you made it to the Next Step Disciple. This show is really simple and one-track focused for those to really pursue those next steps of what it means to follow Jesus Christ, not just as Lord and Savior, but to take those next steps and be a follower of Jesus that applies our faith and lives in the joy of our salvation. And I am super excited about today's conversation, because I get to welcome a good friend of mine, Pastor Zelvis Applin. He's the pastor of South Hills Church in Wymama, Florida. Just this guy lifts my arms every time we talk, encourages my soul in ways that we can't even talk about on the show today because it's just so good. But Pastor Zelvis, welcome, my man. Glad you made it today.
Thank you, Jim. It's an honor to be here with you today. Thank you for the privilege just to share in this moment with you. And I pray that something said today will be able to encourage somebody just to continue to fight this good fight of faith.
Amen. Oh, it will. It will be for sure. And again, as we talked before the show, like, you've just lifted my arms in a lot of ways. And I told you when we talked weeks ago that one of the reasons I asked you to on this topic is because, man, when I'm around you, you're a guy that exudes joy. You are a guy that exudes joy. And I know enough about you to know that that's not just because life is perfect. Wait, no, your life's perfect, right?
No, not at all. What I wish it was, man. I wish I could be more like the master with my life, but it is not perfect. It has had a lot of ups and downs and bumps and bruises, but yet life is still worth living, and I'm thankful to be alive.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Well, and you mentioned bumps and bruises. You are a church planter. You guys started South Hills Church, what, 2017?
Yeah, 2017, January 15th of 2017. We started with a prayer gathering in my home. And here we are 6 years later.
Nice. And you guys are doing a remodel, yeah?
We are. So we're doing construction and remodel. We're going to have to develop our site. You know, we have 3.84 acres right off the lake and the main road that runs through Wymama. And so we're going to be developing the land, and then we'll be doing some construction and renovation to some existing buildings that we have on the property. So we're really excited.
Nice. That's a good moment. That's a good moment.
Absolutely. It's a lot of work, but it's a good moment.
Yeah. Any completion date or...
Man, I don't even know.
It's just kind of process work. Okay, yeah. I wasn't sure if it was one of those, you know.
No, we're still in the midst of the process right now. We've got all of our permits back from the county, and so we're meeting with some companies about financing and our donors and different things of that nature, getting ready to start a capital campaign. And so hopefully we'll be able to have a completion date for that soon.
Yeah, very cool. I love that. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, that's a big moment. Yeah, well, that's good. That's good. Well, we are talking about joy, like we mentioned. Interestingly enough, this week, saw some really crazy news articles that really just sort of solidified and galvanized something that I really do believe in, and that it's this, that America is in a joy crisis. We are in a joy crisis. I really believe that, and not even just in America, but I think even in the church. I mean, one of the things we were talking about before we hit record was, man, I saw this guy, a guy last weekend passed away because he got in a fight at a football game, a pro football game. I mean, that's nuts. Yeah. And like, there's 80 fights apparently already in 2.5 weeks. I saw another article that said that the average number of like violent incidents on a plane average before COVID was like 120 a year. Now it's well over 2,000. Like, people are just losing their mind. Zelvis, do you agree? Would you agree with that? That you feel like that we're in a joy crisis? Are you seeing that?
Oh, absolutely. I have an older sister that lives in New Orleans, and, you know, I always talk about going to go see her, and I love New Orleans, such a unique place to go to.
Oh, yeah.
And she talks about during certain times of the year, she's like, she says, don't come here. And I'll ask her why. And she said, just people are just driving down the highway and shooting out the window, just shooting other people on the highway. You talk about just a loss of joy. I mean, how do you get to the point where you just do drive-by shootings on the highway? I don't understand that.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, I think our nation is getting flipped upside down. I think there are some elements in our nation that are leading to this crisis of joy. We're starting to see this joy crisis turn into lawlessness everywhere. And to your point, I mean, when you get on an airplane, you don't think that you got to get ready to referee a fight on the airplane. I mean, you put your ear pods in, your headphones on, or get a good book, or even take a nap. But you don't think that, hey, at any moment a fight could break out. I mean, what kind of world do we live in when that's a reality?
Yes. Oh my goodness. Yeah, driving on the highway, that's insanity. And so if that's the world that we live in, I think the reason I'm so passionate about this concept, like if that's the world that we live in, yet as followers of Jesus, we are called, commissioned, qualified. We are given all the things for joy. Would you then agree that even among followers of Jesus, we're in a bit of a joy crisis? I mean, is that fair to say?
Oh, absolutely. And if you look at it just kind of across the spectrum of church in America, we have seen conventions split. We have seen our Presbyterian brothers, our Episcopal brothers, our Methodist brothers, even in the SBC, we're seeing some infighting happening. And I'll just tell you, at the end of the day, I think people are looking for a fight because there is this loss of joy. And I see it everywhere. And the church is not excluded from this. And the problem with the church, which is a beautiful problem, is it's filled with imperfect people who are sinful by nature. And so because of our sin nature and our imperfectness, we bring a lot of these issues into the church with us.
Yeah.
So I would agree. Yeah, we're seeing that in the church.
Yep, no doubt. The sad thing about ministry is the longer you're in ministry, whether you're just attending a church or whether you're leading a church or on some leadership position, you do end up seeing the brokenness of people come out in some really, really ugly ways that are quite honestly, you know, I would say opposites of joy, because joy, right, joy is that fruit that comes out of us. So we'll talk about that maybe a little bit in a bit, but you know, Galatians 5:22, the fruits of the Spirit, what's the second fruit? It's joy.
Yeah, joy.
Love, joy. Yeah. I mean, it's right at the top. Love, joy. Love, joy. Yeah. If we have love, joy should come out. If we don't have joy, then I wonder if our love is on the down. See, I'm starting to preach right there, aren't I? But
now, come on. Well,
start in, brother. Start in. That's good. So listen. So you're right. We've got this joy thing that is by the Holy Spirit of God. So let's just, before we get practical, I want to be super practical today. Before we dive into some of those practicals, if the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is to say that we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, and the Spirit of God lives in us, dear brother, why do we not have joy? What are joy stealers? What are joy counterfeiters? Like, what do you think is causing this barrier to the fruit of the Spirit of joy welling up inside of some Christians?
You know, that's such an awesome question. It really is. And I think if we think about what Paul wrote to the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, he said, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." Let me just break that down for you. Basically, what he's saying is stop being selfish. You have no right to live for yourself. You are to live for Christ because you've been bought with a price.
Yes.
And he paid the price to ransom our lives. And so now we belong to him. But the reason why most people don't have joy is because they're selfish. The biggest joy zapper is our selfishness. It's our sinful wants and desires and needs that we constantly and consistently feed. And anytime you feed sin like that, it depletes from what you should be feeding. You're going to feed one thing and starve the other. And so we starve the spirit, man, because we're giving into the flesh all the time. And when you do that, you can't experience joy on a consistent level because you're starving out the joy that's in your life. And so some of the joy zappers is joy. I think some of the other joy zappers are relationships that we're in.
Yeah.
There's a book by Dr. Henry Cloud called Necessary Endings. Phenomenal book. I read it about probably 8 years ago, and I had no idea that God was going to bring a necessary end in my life to cause me to be a church planter. And I'm so thankful for that journey. But there's some relationships and some things that we're holding on to that God really wants us to kind of walk out of and walk away from. And because we're unwilling to hold on to that stuff, it becomes anchors and dead weight and baggage in our lives. And it steals from our joy reserves. And there's some drama that we have in our lives that really don't have to be there. And if we would just, you know, take the step to create some necessary endings, then we would be able to move from chaos and from drama and all the other things that come along with that and just walk into consistent joy, which eventually leads to peace. So you remember when you're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, the first one is love, second one is joy, the third one is peace. There's a natural progression. When we're living in the love of God, we experience the joy of God, which eventually leads to the peace of God that's in our lives. And so that fruit is always constantly flowing in our lives, and we have to make the conscious choice to pick from it. I think another thing that steals joy from people is sound bites and radio waves and media. I think some people are so addicted to the media and to the sound bites that we begin to feed into what the world is putting out there. And so you think about politics, depending on what side of the aisle you are, and I'm not going to choose a side today, but what I am saying is, depending on what side of the aisle you're on, you're going to see the other side as the enemy, because that's the way that it's been presented in front of us. And so you've got certain news outlets that are conservative, you got some that are liberal, and they're both talking bad about each other instead of talking about the issues that are facing our nation. How could we come together, bring unity to the table to solve some of these things? So we see this constant fighting back and forth, and everything that we experience today, especially when COVID came around in 2020, you remember, if you were on social media, people were fighting on social media during the political season. And they were just, you know, relationships were ending. Even if you were blood related to somebody, if you disagreed with them politically or basically on something that the news said, then relationships were ending, fights were breaking out. And so we have allowed even our media to steal our joy in this nation. So there are a lot of things that are working against people, forces that are at play that are working against people. And we all know the root of that is spiritual wickedness in heavenly places that want to divide and destroy humanity. And so I think those are some of the biggest joy zappers that we see out there.
Whoo, man. I couldn't agree more. You said some really, really good things. If you're listening to this, I hope you'll take a moment and even just hit pause and sort of digest those a little bit. I'm so glad you brought the word in was it 2 Corinthians you brought in? Was that first second?
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. 5.
Yeah, yeah. I love that you hit the truth bomb from the top. Let's just acknowledge that. Our selfishness is always a problem. Like,
correct.
It's always a problem. And so often, if we're honest, again, being real talk, not many of us notice when we're being selfish, do we? Nobody else walks around and go, I'm going to be selfish now. But we are. Our selfishness is a total joy zapper, like you said. Because when we're focused on ourselves, we're not focused on Christ. We're not focused on other people. We're not focused on those things. And even just put it like even in a... I guess just a different direction of that selfishness is just plain old sin. We don't often say it this way or think of it this way, but sometimes when we wrestle to have joy and we're not a joyful person, I think a person's got to pause for a moment and stop and go, is there a sin in my life that I am allowing? I'm giving a runway to, I'm giving an audience to, I'm accepting it. Because again, with the real talk, most of us at times in our lives, if we're being really clear with ourselves, there's a sin that we're allowing to happen, and we're feeding it. And we wonder, gosh, why is there no joy of the Spirit, right? Well, because the selfishness in me says, I deserve this. Hey, lust is okay. I can be proud here. I can be arrogant here. Hey, this is how business is done. I can do this. I can gossip a little because I'm upset about something. And that sin just contaminates. In Romans 8 says that when we place our mind on the things of the Spirit, it produces what? Life. And peace. And I love that you brought that love, joy, and the peace that comes together in that, you know, produces life and peace. But what does a focus on the flesh produce? Death.
Death. That's right, brother.
That's a big old word right there.
That is a huge word.
Death. It doesn't say setting our mind on the flesh produces, you know, a bummer Tuesday. It produces death. That's and right. Death is the opposite of joy in so many ways. I mean, not for the believer that go to Christ, obviously, but in the metaphor that Christ is talking about, I mean, that is super good. And I'm glad that you mentioned the sound bites thing there, because that was one thing that I've thought a lot about too, is we allow so much distraction in our minds. And I think the other side of it is we allow brain burnout to happen because we're overloading our brains.
Correct.
The average American watches over 30 hours of TV a week. And then we say, oh, I'm too busy to read my Bible. I'm too busy to pray. I'm too busy to serve my neighbor. I'm too busy to make a difference. I'm too busy to whatever the case may be. We're between social media, the sound bites, the political fighting at times, that just kills, right? Our brain begins to fry out. And I don't think that God ever intended for us to be have this much activity in our brains. I just don't think that he made us that way. Like, I'm no neurologist, I'm a nobody, but I just don't know that we were intended to have add, soundbite, social media clip. This is what's going on in 97 people's lives on the feed. Like, our brains just get so overloaded that, like, there's no room for the joy of the Spirit to well inside of us, because we're at capacity. We're at capacity. Yeah. So,
well, think about it from this standpoint, my brother. You know, when YouTube came out, you know, people will upload these videos. You watch these 3, 5, whatever minute clips, or, you know, whatever have you, however long these videos were.
Yeah.
And TikTok came out and the trend started changing. So you see it in TikTok, you see it on Facebook, you see it in Instagram, you see it on YouTube now, and they call them shorts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they take these videos that have been out there, and they just take these little short segments and they post them. And when you would just watch one video for a specified length of time, now you see these shorts and it's like, okay, it's like getting the mini wafers or something of that nature, mm-hmm. You know, the vanilla wafers, cookies. And you eat one and you're just like, yeah, that's not going to satisfy me. And I just keep popping them in my mouth.
Yes.
Versus the regular size, I wouldn't eat as many. So now we're consuming our minds. Our minds are being consumed by all this information in little short sound bites. And we're getting different inputs from so many different sources that are flooding our brains. And so you're absolutely right, man. I don't think our minds were designed for that, but somehow those who have these types of technologies that own these companies, they have figured that we have an addiction to this type of information feeding. And so they're just feeding our addiction instead of us feeding on the word. Like you said earlier, we're just feeding on random stuff. And if you're an information junkie like me, I just love random information. I love history. I love stats. I love facts.
Mm-hmm.
If you're like me, it's easy to get addicted to that, because I'm constantly in this cycle of learning, and I have to slow my brain down by reading a book or watching something that's like a documentary that's super boring for my brain to just slow down. So you're absolutely right, Nick. That can affect you.
Oh my goodness. It absolutely can. And I think for the believer to say, hey, listen, someone's listening and going, man, I want to walk in joy, and I do desire to be a joyful person. I think it'd be right then to say, we've got to be more ruthless and wise about saying, man, that's just not helpful for me. Like, that's just not helpful for me. I just don't need to be letting that algorithm go from the next short, next short, next short. I don't need to watch that much news. I don't need to read that kind of article. I don't need to hear this conversation. I'm going to go excuse myself from the break room. We've got to be a little more ruthless to say, gosh, you know, that's just kind of weighing my soul down. I don't come away feeling like the joy of the Lord. And I'm not suggesting as Christians that we're to, you know, put our head in the sand and bury it in a hole and be like, you know, we're not going to be a part of that. We should be informed and we should know those things. But man, I don't know that we're very good at reading our soul. And we've got to be more wise. If we want to walk in joy, we can't assume that we can just go to the junkyard and dump everything in there into the back of our truck and think that we're going to have a capacity for joy. We're going to have say, hey, some things are going to have to stay outside the yard, because there's no space for the joy of the Lord here. And I mean, there's another conversation that for a different time, but how do you hear the Lord's voice? I mean, how do you hear the Lord's voice when we're just overloaded by all these things? It's just kind of crazy, right? It's just kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Zelvis, do you think everybody has a capacity for joy, or are there just some people that are just not joyful?
It depends on how you define joy. It depends on what you define joy as. Do I believe everybody technically has the capacity for joy? Every human being has the capacity for joy, but where does joy come from?
Yeah.
Would be the wise question to ask in that moment. And we know that joy comes from the Lord. We know it is a fruit of the Spirit. And so does everybody have the capacity? Well, I would say technically every human being has the capacity to choose Christ and to be filled with his Spirit, thereby receiving joy. So yes, we all have the capacity if we choose Christ. The question comes down to, do you choose Christ or do you choose self? Do you choose Christ or do you choose the world? And so every believer has definitely the capacity for joy. Every believer in Christ already has joy in them. The question is, are they taking hold of the fruit of joy that is in their lives spiritually and consuming that every day? Would be the question that I would ask. But I would believe every believer right now on the face of the planet has joy already on the inside of them. It came as part of the Holy Spirit. He didn't come empty handed when he indwelled us. So we're full of joy, but are we accessing joy every day in our lives? And for those that aren't believers in Christ, they do have the ability to make the choice for Christ so that they can have access to that joy that comes from the Lord.
Yeah, that's so good. Because if it's going to be in Christ, the beautiful part about that is that means that it's by definition not situational.
Correct.
Because what most people equate joy to is situational. Hey, do you have joy? Yeah, you know, I got a promotion, or I like my job, or, you know, marriage is going okay and the kids are doing well in school and I feel good and I'm not struggling with anything, or, hey, that's when I've got joy. And then conversely, hey, brother, are you feeling joy? And you're like, no, I've got no joy. You know, the job is terrible and I'm fighting with my wife and I'm going through some doctor situations that are really discouraging me. Man, I have no joy. But if what's true is what you said, and I believe that it is, that our joy doesn't come from situations. It comes from the Holy Spirit that's indwelt in us in Christ. It's from the Lord. Then I think we would need to say, hey, listen, friend, it's possible to experience joy in the middle of turbulence. We can have a joy in turbulence. In fact, James 1:2 says, consider it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. And he goes, your testing of your faith produces endurance and all this other stuff.
That's right.
And there's a wholeness that comes to it. Well, that's a jarring verse for a lot of Christians. Like, and it's really salt in the wounds when it's like, oh, Z, you're going through a terrible situation. I go, hey, consider it all joy, my brother. Like, you wouldn't go, you know, hey, thanks for that, you know, most of the time. But yet the word of God is true.
Yes.
The word of God is true.
That's right.
And I like that you mentioned a moment ago. Oh, continue. Go ahead.
No, please.
I was just going to say, you know, how we define joy is really important. Is our joy an emotional sense of happiness based on our circumstances? No. A joy has depth to it. It's got substance to it. How can we say that in the midst of turbulence and disappointment and hardship that we can consider it all joy when we're meeting trials? Because the word of God says in James 1 that those processes of turbulent living, they produce something that is joyful and valuable for our souls in the kingdom of God. And so that perspective has to begin to transition and shift for us to be believers who live in joy. If our perspective is just situational, that joy is just, I just feel happy today because the sun is shining, then we're never going to have a depth to it. But when our perspective shifts and say, wow, the joy of honoring Jesus Christ in the midst of my turbulence, the joy of learning a spiritual steadfastness and strength that by the end of this turbulent situation, I get to know Christ more, I've grown in my faith more, that is a peaceful fruit of joy, it says in, I think it's Hebrews 12, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, for me, you know, when we talk about, you know, James, the scripture that you quoted, count it all joy. You know, I remember there was a season of ministry life that was extremely difficult for me. I had never been through anything like it. And it was one of those moments where you begin to question everything you believe. It's one of those moments where you even begin to question your calling into the ministry. And I remember I came under attack from every direction. I mean, everything you could possibly think of, I went through. And I remember one day I was just so stressed out and I was so hurt and I was so angry and upset. I just decided to go to the gym and just try to work out some of that stress out of me. So, you know, I take my boxing gloves to the gym and it had a standing punching bag and I go in there and I just weld on that thing. I mean, I'm wearing it out and I'm lifting weights and running and all this kind of stuff. And I remembered I got back to my house and I pulled up in the driveway. And I'm praying the whole time. I'm just praying, Lord, help me. I'm so angry. I'm so hurt, you know, and different things and feel betrayed and not understanding why this is happening to me. I didn't cause this. You know, I'm standing up for righteousness and what's right. And I just remembered I parked the car in the driveway and I just began to weep in the car, just weep and weep and weep and weep. And I have an overly active imagination. My mind can get going. And all I'm thinking about is all these people who have hurt me and have tried to intentionally destroy me. I'm like, man, you know, if you want to play those games, I can play those games better. And I'll come after you. And I remember the Lord just speaking to me in that moment. And he reminded me of Deuteronomy and also Romans 12, where he said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord.
Yes.
And he just kept saying that to me over and over and over and over again. And then he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray. And I was like, oh, yeah, I can pray. I'll pray. Yeah, God, I'll do that for sure. Yeah, let's. I'm going to pray to go get them prayer. That's what I'm going to pray.
That's right.
And so he said, no. You don't understand what I'm asking you to do, brother. He said, I want you to pray for those I was like, God, I got the message. I'm going to pray for them, all right? And he said, no. Pray that I would bless them. And it made no sense to me, brother. It made no sense to me. And I began to pray. And I'm struggling with praying that God would bless them because I want to pray the go get them God prayer. Please go get them. And I began to pray. And as I prayed for each and every person by name, that was coming after me, the Lord reminded me of something that they had been through in their lives. And I remembered that heart that felt like it was stone turned into flesh. And I began to pray for them by name. And I prayed for what they were walking through, what they had been through, what they were struggling with, because I knew them intimately. And as I prayed this prayer, the Lord began to soften my heart. And here was the crazy thing, Jim, as I obeyed the Lord, the joy came back in. Like his promise to take care of me, his promise to handle the situation, that joy began to flood my mind and my body. And I stopped crying and I began to praise and worship the Lord because I knew he was going to come through for me. I had the assurance that he would and that he was not going to break his promise. And the Lord came through. And brother, I am a church planter today. I didn't give up on ministry. And the Lord is moving in spectacular ways in our community. And I'm so thankful that I did not throw in the towel, but I trusted the Lord in that moment. And the very thing that was always inside of me, the Lord allowed me to just take that bucket and dip it down in the well and draw out the joy that I needed so that it would nourish me in my life. And I'm so thankful I'm still here. And I can tell you, and even in the midst of all of that, the Lord kept giving me joy. And here's what I remembered. The way that I stayed joyful is the Lord kept reminding me of who I am, what he's called me to do, and the glorious future that I have. Well, what do you mean by that, brother? Are you talking about, man, you're going to have a large ministry in a big church? No, I'm not talking about that. Are you talking about all the sermons you get to preach? No, I'm not talking about that. One day this life is going to be over. And I'm going to step off this stage and into the stage of eternity. And I'm going to get to see Jesus face to face. And my faith, my hope is going to be finally realized. And man, if that don't make you joyful, I don't know what else will.
Come on.
Yeah. Like, soon I will be done with the troubles of this world. I'm going home to be with the Lord. Thank you, Mahalia Jackson, for that song. But I'm just telling you, one day will all be over and I will be with Jesus. I'll get to see my mom. I'll get to see my biological father. I'll get to see my grandparents. I'll get to see some of my best friends who passed away when I was 20. I'll get to see those people again. And if that don't make me joyful, man, nothing else will. And so I'm so thankful for my glorious future. And the thing that I'm most excited about is getting to see Jesus face to face. And I'm a hugger, man. Like, if you know me, if I know. See you, I'll give you the bro hug, dog.
Come on,
like,
that's we gonna it. Hug. I love
like,
it.
When I see Jesus, I don't know what the proper protocol is going to be, but all I know is I'm going to run to the throne and throw my arms around the man who died for me and made it possible for me to live again. So that gives me joy.
Man, I'm just fighting off tears, to be honest with you. Fighting off tears. That's a good word, brother. Thanks for sharing that. Thanks for ministering to me even in that this morning. That's a good word. Did you guys hear that? Did you hear that with both ears? That's what I want to know. Did you hear that?
With your good ears.
With your good ears. Did you hear that with your good ears? Listen, I don't get distracted in the last bit of this. I wanted you to hear that if you're listening today. That's a good word, brother. Thank you for sharing your heart. Thank you for sharing that perspective. We get lost in the weeds. We get lost in the weeds, and I'm writing some notes down as you were talking about this, going, man, there's another joy killer is hurt and bitterness. When we let unforgiveness and hurt and anger and bitterness, when we let that in our soul, it destroys our joy. I mean, it crushes it under an anvil like the cartoons, right? Joy, hurt, unforgiveness, anger. Why does God say, cast these away, put those to death? Because he says, listen, look what it does to you. It's crushing your soul. And I appreciate you just sharing your heart to just pour out before the Lord and through weeping. And by the way, it's manly to weep. That's just what it is. I'm just going to say that out loud.
And
letting God minister in that moment and praying for people and loving people through all that. Listen, somebody listening has got some bitterness. I'm sure of it. Somebody's listening that's wrestling with a relationship that's just robbing that joy. And I hope you heard that. Hope you heard that today. Well, man, I just feel like that's so good. I don't want to lose that moment. I would even just say this as kind of a couple of other applications or I guess practical things as we sort of process that together. Hey, how do we help each other come alongside of this fight in joy? That's, I guess, what I want to know, because listen, what you just said, I think is some great tools and practical ways for us to process together, whatever joy we might be struggling with. But we've got friends, we've got people that are wrestling, and we've got people around us that are followers of Jesus. And maybe you can just see it in their face that they are not who they used to be, and they're struggling and they're down. And I'll tell you, don't you love it when you just say to a friend, hey man, just be joyful, just be happy. That never works, does it? To just tell somebody to be happy and joyful, it just doesn't work.
It don't work, bro.
No, how do you do that? So a brother or sister struggling to find joy, how do we come alongside of them and champion them and help them to have the joy of the Lord in a real redemptive way?
Yeah, I think we need to point them back to Christ. And I know that sounds so like Sunday school, you know, Jesus answer, you know, it sounds so just simple and it's easier said than done for most people. But I just keep reminding myself of Philippians chapter 4, verses 5-7. You know, when the Lord tells us, you know, when we're stressed out, when we're angry, when we're anxious, you know, don't be anxious about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Yeah. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And I think it's super important that, man, when we're in those moments where our anger is getting the best of us, where depression starts to kick in. I mean, lose about 40 people in the span of a year and a half. And I'm going to tell you, depression is going to kick in, brother. I'm just telling you, it's going to kick in. And I have been through bouts of depression. You know, losing my biological father, who I didn't know existed until I was 32 years old, was when I was told that my dad wasn't my dad, that my biological father was a different man.
Wow.
And the age of 32, I discovered who he was. And my parents told me. And my dad was the one that brought me home from the hospital. Still my dad to this day, still alive. I'm thankful for him. I mean, that's my dude. But finding out that he was not my biological father was pretty tough. And meeting my biological father and only getting to know him for 10 years because he passed away. He passed away Christmas Day of 2019.
Wow.
And that was tough. And I weep like I had never weeped before because I was mourning the years that we lost. Even though I got to know him for 10 years, I was mourning the time that we lost. And that was pretty difficult. And then to turn around 9 months later and have to bury my mother. And remembering the last time I saw my mother alive was when I was leaving Houston, Texas, because I was at my biological father's funeral. That was the last time I saw her alive. And that was during 2020. And then we all know what happened in 2020. My mom wanted to come down and watch my son graduate from high school in June of 2020. And I told her, Mom, I don't want you to come. Because I knew her health wasn't good and I didn't want her to catch COVID and die. And so I said, no, Mom, don't come. Don't come. Let's wait. Let's ride this thing out. Not knowing that she would not live past 2 months. And you talk about, man, I went to the cemetery. My dad and I got into it in Houston. We had a moment where he just lost it and I was trying to keep him under control and it just spiraled out of control. I was trying to respect him as much as I could, and I did, and I honored him in that moment. But him being upset with me did something to me in that moment, and I got that, you know, he had lost his wife, you know, and the mother of his children, and I was kind of a target in that moment. But it did something to me that I had never felt before, and all I knew to do was to get out of the house, go ride in my car. I drive down the road. I go past my grandmother's house, who's been in heaven for a number of years. And then I went to the cemetery. Now, what's interesting about the cemetery was my parents bought a plot of land at the cemetery, and they already have their tombstones there. And my grandmother's tombstone is there that passed away, my dad, and then my mom. And I go to the cemetery, and I'm sitting in the car, and I just start weeping uncontrollably. And I'm weeping so bad that I had to call my wife and say, baby, I need you to come. I can't stop crying. I can hardly breathe. You know, I was just I was a wreck. And they get to the cemetery and, you know, they get me out the car and they take me to the burial spot where my mom is going to be buried. And I cried for about an hour straight. And I'm not talking about like a small cry. My soul hurt.
Yeah.
And I cried and wept before the Lord for about an hour. They could not stop me from crying. And part of it was the grief of my mother passing, my biological father passing, and then me having a moment with my dad. That just, it was overwhelming to me. And I remember just coming out of that season and I kept praying and I kept praying, but man, I slipped into depression and I didn't realize that I was in depression until my wife came to me and said, baby, you got to get some help. Like you're not good. You're in a bad way right now. And so I decided to get some therapy and get some counseling.
Good for you.
And that began to turn some things around. And I began to get honest with God about how I was feeling. And I think many of us don't experience the joy of the Lord because we're not honest. We just don't talk about what we're feeling. I even noticed in my own home, I had a habit of not being honest with my own wife about how I was really feeling.
Wow.
One day I was watching this show and this kid and his dad, they had a strained relationship and he hadn't seen them in years. And finally they reconnect. And then the dad gets cancer and he passes away and the son finds him sitting in the chair, passed away. And all of a sudden out of nowhere, I just cried from the gut of my being, the innermost part. And my wife kept asking me that day, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, baby, I'm okay. Are you sure? Yeah, I'm okay. And I'm watching the show. She said, baby, should you be watching this show? Because she could kind of see the arc of where this plot was going. And I was like, no, baby, I'm fine. And there was a moment where things kind of got a little tough for me. And I just kind of got up, walked out and went into the restroom and just had a moment. And she follows me in there. She asked me, are you okay? No, baby, I'm okay. And then finally that scene hit and I just lost it. And she said, okay, that's enough. You're done with the show for the day. But I begin to ask myself, why can't I be honest with my own bride about how I'm feeling emotionally? Like, I am a wreck. Why am I pretending to be strong when I'm really weak? And when I learn to lean into a moment with my bride because she's my safe place, why not go there with her? And I begin to say, baby, I'm thinking about my mom right now, and I'm having a moment. One time she heard me listen to a lot of old school gospel songs that we grew up in with as children. She said, baby, you okay? I said, yeah, I'm just missing my mom. And this is soothing, you know? And so I think when we begin to get honest about how we feel, what we're thinking, what we're struggling with, and we're honest with God first and with others that we trust with that information, I believe the weight of that depression and the weight of that angst and that weight of anger and that weight of disappointment begins to dissipate, because the Bible says, cast your what? Cares upon the Lord, because he cares for you.
Yeah.
So the question is, do we trust God? Do we trust those that he's put in our sea of humanity that care for us? Will we lean on him and others to help us through? Brother, thank you for the privilege of being able to walk with you through your moment the other day. Brother, you could have been like, oh yeah, I've got some things going on, but you know, just pray for me. But you let me lean into that moment with you. And it wasn't just a good moment for you, brother. It was a good moment for me. Because it reminded me of what I've been through, where I've been and where I'm at today, and how God has been there for me. And if he could do it for me, he can do it for you. And if he does it for you, he can do it for me. We serve a faithful God. And so I think if we'll get in the habit of being honest before the Lord and before those that we trust in our lives, I think we'll experience more of the joy of the Lord. And so I don't know who that hits today. Maybe you're out there and you're listening to this podcast and you wish I would just shut up because maybe I'm stepping on your toes right now. But I just want to encourage you, if you're trying to handle this alone, you're not meant to do that. It's not good that the man would be alone. God's created a suitable helpmate for you. Maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's somebody that's a mentor to you in your life. But ultimately, I would suggest to you, it's God himself, and he wants to be in those moments with you. So lean on the Lord.
That's right. Yeah, that's a good word. Thanks for just being vulnerable today. Thanks for being honest today. I appreciate that. It's so easy as spiritual, especially leaders, I think people think we've got it all together, and quite the contrary. Quite the contrary. Our church knows I'm really candid, and you know, it's going to be recorded on Apple and everybody else. But I've struggled with depression for a long time, probably 23, 24 years. And it's still a battle. It's still a battle. Joy is not always natural. But what you said has been so true. And that is to say, listen, don't bury that thing. Hey, we're up here in Montana. We're in the West. We bury those emotions. Yeah. Really? Like, really? I want to get to that point. Go, really? How's that working for you?
Yeah.
Keep burying those babies. Guess what's going to happen? It's going to come out like TNT.
Yeah.
And then you got to walk that back. Just talk. Yeah. Say something's wrestling. Something's bothering. If you're going to walk alongside of somebody else that's wrestling and struggling, be a safe place for them just to talk. Don't fix all their problems. Don't tell them how they got to do it better. Don't give them answers you don't have. Just listen. Listen to what's going on and pledge constant support not to abandon them. I think that's because we're such a busy culture. Even if we do listen, I think sometimes people abandon. They listen to it and like, oh man, hey, I'm praying for you. I hope it gets better. And then boom, it's ghost town. And then the person's like, well, glad I shared that. That didn't get met with any kind of a, you know, further support. So I think that's really, really critical, man. I think that's really, really critical. I appreciate that. Listen, we're drawing to a close on time for sure. There's a lot of things I wanted to get to in terms of like joy producing promises of Christ. And if you're listening, I would even just say to you, search the scriptures. Look at Hebrews 12:2, where it says that it was joy set before Jesus that he endured the cross for us. He has suffered the way we suffer. There's nothing that our Savior does not understand that we are going through. So if you're struggling to fight for joy and you're not having joy, take confidence in the fact that your Savior, Jesus Christ, has endured all the things that you endure, and he's come out on the other end. John 16:33, take heart. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. So you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trial, but take heart. I've overcome the world. Grab a hold of Psalm 34:18 today. Today, I want you to open your Bible right now. If you're at work, pull it up on your phone or something. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. You know, there's so many promises. And I would even just say this kind of as we close, as we're kind of processing some of that stuff. Obedience equals joy. It just does. If you're living in disobedience, if there's an area of your faith where you're just like, it doesn't really matter, dear friend, it matters. It's a joy robber. And then honestly, the greatest thing as we close too, from my sense of it, is time with Jesus equals joy. You know what I mean? I mean, you experienced that from what you've just shared today, and just so much heart and honesty is that time with Jesus, being honest with Christ, honest in prayer, going to the Word of God, getting quiet, getting alone. If you're struggling with joy today, get alone with Jesus. Put away all the other distractions, pour out your heart to him, open that Bible, dust that baby off, and read the promises of God, the truths of God, and trust what the Word says. It's God's love letter to us, and I think that's critical. But I'll tell you this much, and I know you'd agree, Z, no time with Jesus, we should not expect to have much joy. When we don't spend time with Jesus, we should not assume we're going to have joy. You agree?
I would agree wholeheartedly, brother.
Yeah. Well, man, I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. You guys have a lot going on down there in Florida. Z, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us and to share on the show of what it means to fight for joy, man. Thanks again for being here.
Thank you for the invitation, man. May God continue to bless the work that you're doing.
Thanks so much, brother. We'll do it again for sure. Yes, well, sir. Listen, everybody, thanks so much for joining us on the Next Step Disciple today. A couple of things as we close. I want to just encourage you, if this has been helpful, maybe you're thinking of that person who's fighting for joy, would you take a moment right now, stop what you're doing, share this episode with them so they can experience joy in Jesus, and then walk alongside of them. Maybe you say, hey, let's listen to this together. Let's grab coffee. Let's talk about it. Send that to one or two or five people that you feel like really needs to be lifted up in joy. And this might be a turning point in their life to experience joy in Jesus. And so I want to encourage you, don't do this alone. Don't be a Next Step Disciple alone. Get other people around you. Talk about this, process this. Let's do life in community, okay? God bless you. Love you. Thanks for joining the show. Have a great week.